Okay, so today's shiur is going to be about the Levite placing the first in Parshas Bamidbar in Perek Gimel. The Torah tells us that there were in Perek Gimel Pasuk Lamates, it says the total number of Levim mi ben chodesh v'mala shnayim ve'esrim alef. There are 22,000. Although Rashi points out that if you do the numbers, you add up. There are actually 22,300, and the 300 were Levim who were firstborn. So there were 22,000 Levim who were not firstborns. There were 300 who were Levim and firstborns. And in any case, Torah tells us that these 22,000 replaced the firstborns because the Torah tells us that in Pasuk Mem, Vayomer Shel Moshe, Bekod El Kol Bechor, select every firstborn Zachor, every male firstborn, Ben Chodesh V'Mala, so select them. V'Lakachta Salavim Li, and you should take the Levim to me. Tachas Kol Bechor B'Bnei Yisrael, instead of the firstborn. So the Levim are replacing the firstborns. There were 22,000, and Pasuk Mem Gilon says there are 22,273 firstborns. And there were 22,000 Levim, or 22,300 Levim, and Levim replaced the firstborn. So the question is, when did this happen? Right. So the Rashi points out that in Perek Gimel, Pasuk Mem Aleph. Says Sheyiyu Yisrael Sochrim Osam LeSherus Sheli, that the Levim will serve Hakadosh Baruch Hu Ayideh Bechoros Achisi Bahem, that really the firstborns had the right to serve Hashem in the Mishkan. Ulakachtim Tmurasam, but I'm taking Levim instead of the firstborns. Lefi Shehaisa Avoda BeBechoros, since the Avoda of the service was with the firstborns originally. And when they sinned with the golden calf, so they were, the firstborns were invalidated from serving the Mishkan. And Levim who didn't serve Avodah Zarah, so they were selected instead of the firstborns. So you had these firstborns that they were selected to serve in the Mishkan, and then they sinned by the Chet Egel. Now in Parshas Bamidbar, Hashem is saying that the Levim are replacing the firstborns. So it seems that the firstborns don't have any kedusha, any sanctity at all on the surface, but we know that's not true. Because it's true that they lost the right to serve in the Mishkan, but there still was sanctity to the firstborns. Because if you go back to Parshas Bo, when Hashem, he inflicted 10 plagues on the Egyptians, what was the 10th plague? Makas Bechoros. The 10th plague was the plague of the firstborns. And what happened? He killed the firstborn Egyptians. He didn't kill the firstborn members of Klal Yisrael. And then, at the end of Parshas Bo, Moshe tells the Bnei Yisrael, V'hoya ki v'yacha Hashem al Eretz Kanani, Hashem brings you to the promised land. V'avata kol peter recham l'Hashem, you should give the firstborns to God. V'chol peter Shagir Behema Sheyalochaz Chaim LaShem, and also the firstborn animals should go to Hashem. What do? We indeed that's what we do. We redeem the firstborns. So, and that obligation of having to redeem the firstborn that survives the sin of the golden calf. So what emerges is that there are really two different roles that the firstborns have. One role is that they're serving in the Mikdash, or the Mishkan. And the other role is that they need to be redeemed because of the story of Makas Bechoros. So they lost one role, but they kept the other role. And in fact, there's the service in the Mishkan has nothing to do with the plague of the firstborn. In fact, there's a Medrash in Bamidbar Rabbah which says the following. Says, Viteda, you should know. Shayu Abachoros Makrivim Achlo Amad Shipto Shalevi, that the firstborns were sacrificing even before Levi. Tol Mitchilas Briyasa Shel Olam, even before the creation of the world, right? In the beginning of the creation of the world, Adam Arishon Hayu Abachoros Shel Olam. Adam Arishon was the firstborn. V'kevan Shekirev Korbano, and once he and he offered the first korban, then lavash big de kahuna gadol, he wore the begadim of the kohen gadol. What he wore is not so clear, but the Torah says v'yas Hashem Elokim la'adam v'ishto ketones or v'yil b'shem. Hashem made garments for Adam and Chava, and it says big de shevachayu, they had special garments. And the firstborns would use them. Came in Shemes Adam once. Adam died. Misar and Leshes. He gave them over the clothing to Shes. Shes Misara and Lemesushelach. And Shes gave them to Mesushelach. Came in Shemes Mesushelach. Misar and Lenoach. Then he gave these clothing to Noach. And Abba Noach, he gave a korban. Noach offered a korban to Hashem. And he brings a pasuk. Meis Noach. Noach dies. And Misar and Leshem. He gives over these clothing to Shem. V'chi Shem ha'yeh b'chor, was Shem really the b'chor, v'ayelo Yefes the b'chor, wasn't Yefes the b'chor, Shem ha'achi Yefes ha'gadol, the master of the Shem, why did he give it over to Shem, if he wasn't the firstborn? They should suffer Noach, shall shall sa avos ha'metzim, because Noach knew that the chain of the first, of the avos, I mean, so Yaakov would come from Shem. V'tein ha'lachash, Shem ha'yeh makiv, and Shem would bring a korban. How do we know? Malkitzedek, Malk Shalem, Malkitzedek was the king of Shalem, v'chi kahuna lo nitna, v'lo nitna kahuna al, Elam Mishamot Aaron. What does it mean he was a Kohen? The Kahuna priesthood was only from the time of Aaron. So, Mahu Shehu Amerikan Vahu Kohen. What does it mean he was a Kohen? Shehaya Makriv Be Kohanim. In other words, he was offering like the Kohanim. So, in other words, what this Medrash describes is that the role of service to God was given over from the beginning of time, first to Adam, then to Shes, then to Mesushelach, eventually to Noah, then to Shem. And then the Medrash continues, and he says, gives it to Avram, and then Avram gives it to Yitzchak, and Yitzchak gives it to Yaakov, and then it went to the Bechorim, it went to the firstborns. And in fact, the end of this Medrash says that at Har Sinai, so the last line of this first page, it says that when Moshe came to Sinai, when the Pasuk says, Vayishlach es Nari B'nei Yisrael, so it says that they offered korbanos at Har Sinai. Who offered it? The firstborn. So the point of this medrash is that originally the story, the spiritual responsibilities of the bechoros began from the beginning of time. It had nothing to do, and it was separate from the 10th plague, where they also had a status. So this one status of serving, quote-unquote, in the Mishkan, or before the Mishkan, offering korbanos on behalf of mankind, so that started with Adam HaRishon. And again, when did they lose it? According to the Medrash, they lost it when? By it said that when they brought the Egel, so then after the sin of the Egel, so then the firstborns lost their rights, and Shevet Levi came instead of them. In fact, the Sfarno also highlights this. The Sfarno says, "Bayom Hakosi Kol B'chov Eretz Yisrael Mikdashili Kol B'chov Yisrael." The day that I smote all the firstborns in Egypt, I sanctified the firstborns among the Jews. Amnam B'makas B'choros, by the plague of the B'choros, Shayu B'choros Ruuyim Leyanish Ba'avon Hador. The firstborns were supposed to die because of the sins of the generation. B'nei Hayosam Hayosim Nichvadim U'Viyosam. That they were not supposed to, the firstborns were supposed to die. If I need Talti, Hashem said, I saved them. Mashik Dashtim Li, Bein Sheyu Asur Melisasek, Bavodot Hedjo, Kimishma Kolakodesh, Shu Asur Bagiza Vavoda. So Hashem saved the firstborn members of Klal Yisrael who weren't supposed to be saved. Now, once they were saved, they're sanctified. And what does it mean to be sanctified? It means they can't do regular work. Because an animal that is sanctified, a firstborn animal that's sanctified, you can't shear it, you can't work it. So leman yu mutarim bezeitz hitzrachtim pidyon. In order for them to be permitted, they need to be redeemed. Kimishma kol kodesh yotzei l'chulim. So after Hashem redeemed, or after Hashem saved the firstborn members of Klal Yisrael by the 10th plague, now they're all sanctified. They can't live normal lives unless they are redeemed. And velo bishvil zeh hapidyon hayuptur min avoda. Right? And it's not because of, without this redemption, they would be exempt. They wouldn't be allowed to, they wouldn't be allowed to work. Va'achshav shechatu, once they sinned, ma'astim, I was despised with them. Lakati levim tachtehem lepidyon. V'hayu li halvim lavod. And the levim took over for the firstborns. So the Sfarno says it very clearly, that once the firstborns were saved in Egypt, they became sanctified. They couldn't lead a life of mundane work until they were redeemed. So essentially, what emerges is there are two different aspects to being a firstborn. Number one, they have the privilege to serve in the Mishkan, to serve God, offer korbanos on behalf of humanity from the beginning of time, but then when it became the firstborns, it was to serve in the Mishkan and to offer sacrifice on behalf of the Bnei Israel. And then there is a second responsibility to dedicate one's life completely to God because they were saved in the story of Pesach, and so they have to dedicate their lives to God until they're redeemed. Now Rav Hirsch says the following. Rav Hirsch says, Im havarat havoda min habachorim lalavim lo paska kedushat habachorah. And Rav Hirsch makes this point that even though the firstborns lost the right to the avoda, to serve God in the Mishkan, and it was transferred from the firstborns to the Levium, they didn't lose their kedusha, their sanctity of being a firstborn. They lost the privilege to serve in the Mishkan, but they didn't lose the kedusha, the sanctity of the firstborn. So what does that mean? They're still kadosh. Ela adayin habachorim kedoshim l'Hashem l'marot ha'avara hazot, says Rav Hirsch. Still, the firstborn were sanctified to God despite this transition. Ha'avarazu rak bitla et ma'amadam kinitzige haklal bamikdash. This transition only canceled their status as the leaders of the Jewish people in the Mikdash. Achlo niskapeach ma'amadam bekerav ha'mishpachot. But they didn't lose their status among the Jewish family. Ve'adayin heim mevatim sha'mishpacha knuyim l'Hashem. And they still express the idea that the family is has to give itself to God. Kein nimshechet kedushat ha'bechora shel behema tahora u'peter chamor. So too, the sanctity of the bechora, of the firstborn animal and the donkey also continued. V'adayin zu mevatat shemazon ha'mishpacha u'rechush ha'mishpacha knuyim l'Hashem. And the fact that we're still redeeming firstborn animals highlights the fact that the food of the mishpacha, the property of the mishpacha, the family, still belongs to God. And that's what he says, Bishum kach darsh av yochan li yu, what it says, to me they will be, referring to the firstborns, behaviyatam yuhu, that they in their state they will be. Havo omer, kedushat habachorah she'achala b'yitzias Mitzrayim nimshecha b'lo hefsek. The sanctity of the bechorah that began when the Bnei Israel left Egypt continued without any interruption. Kidshu v'lo pasku. They were sanctified and they didn't cease to be sanctified. In other words, according to Rav Hirsch, the firstborn still has a status within the Jewish family. He is, the firstborn is the caregiver. The firstborn is the role model. The firstborn still gets a double portion. And what emerges then is that it's not that the firstborn lost all their rights and lost all their responsibilities of leadership and everything went to Levium. What emerges is that there are really two different types of spiritual leaders within the Jewish people. You have the Levi, which is the leadership which is represented by one segment of the population. And you have the Bechor, the firstborn, where every segment of the population is represented by leadership. Every family has a leader who was saved, who reminds the family to dedicate their lives to God, because the life of the Bechor was saved by God. So we have leadership of the nation in the Mikdash, leadership in the temple, and leadership of the family. And both are critical. And if you think about it, actually, think about what happened when the world was created. When the world was created, we actually first had a Bechor model, whereby what? Basically, everyone was equal. There was no special nation to serve God. Everyone was equal. And presumably, people from every family would serve God. But what happened? Eventually, it didn't work out. Then we had the flood, the Mabul. We had the Migdal Bava, the tower above. Bava. What did Hashem do? Instead of saying everyone's going to serve Hashem equally, He created a group of people, a founding family, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Bnei Yisrael, and we became the Kohanim. We became, or the Levim. We became the Jewish people vis-a-vis the rest of the world. We're like the Levim. We're a group of people. We're a segment of the world population that is trying to promote spirituality to the rest of the world. That's who we are, the Jewish nation. So again, we switched when Hashem created the world from a Bechor model, a firstborn model, where there was no segment of the population that had any more responsibility than any other segment, to a uniquely Levi model, where one segment of the population is supposed to shine the light for the rest of the world, and that's the Jewish nation. On a Jewish level, we began with the Bechor model, right? We had just the firstborns, that every part of the population had someone who was lighting the light for them. But after the sin of the golden calf, we adopted a Levi model, but the Bechor is still Kadosh. So we have the temple Jew, and we have the spiritual leader of the temple, and we have the spiritual leader of the family. And maybe the message that we're left with when we retain both of these models, is that number one, we need a Levi model. We need to promote one group of people who lean on each other and are committed to the spiritual needs of the people. In other words, if we just say, okay, everyone should pick one member of their family, maybe you need a group of people that are constantly strengthening themselves and dedicated to the mission of spiritually energizing Jewish people. You need like the Levi. And obviously the Levi was replaced perhaps by Chazal, by sages, a group of people who are dedicated and committing their lives to the spiritual nourishment of Jewish people. But then it doesn't absolve the family responsibility. It doesn't absolve the Bechor model. In other words, you can't simply outsource Jewish education and Jewish spirituality to a group of people. You need someone who's going to light a fire, but you also need it within the family itself. You need a dynamic partnership between a role model in the home and the role model in the sanctuary. You cannot outsource Jewish education only to the schools without any work from the family at home. And if we can balance both of them, then we can mimic the balance that existed between the Levi on the one hand and the Bechor on the other hand.